Remind everybody that immediately following our worship service down in the fellowship hall, we will have our Safe Sanctuary training. We are a Safe Sanctuary congregation. We're going to look a little bit more into what that looks like here in a moment, but please do be mindful of that. Anybody working with our children, youth, or vulnerable adults, it is required that you go through this training. Most have been through it, so this will be kind of just one of those yearly previews and just reminding us all about what that entails. But that will be downstairs in the sanctuary after our morning worship, or in the fellowship hall, I'm sorry, after our morning worship. With that being said, I want to share with us now our purpose, Safe Sanctuary purpose, and also have you join in with me in our covenant here in a moment. But let us be mindful of what this day calls us to. God calls us to make our churches safe places, protecting children, youth, and vulnerable adults from sexual and ritual abuse. God calls us to create communities of faith where children, youth, and vulnerable adults grow safe and strong. Our purpose is to be a safe sanctuary congregation by demonstrating our absolute and unwavering commitment to the physical and mental safety and spiritual growth of all our children, youth, and vulnerable adults. And if you would, please now join with me in our Safe Sanctuary Covenant. We pledge to conduct the ministries of the gospel in ways that seek the safety and spiritual growth of all our children, youth, and vulnerable adults, as well as all those who work with our children, youth, and vulnerable adults. In all our ministries with children, youth, and vulnerable adults, we are committed to demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ so that each child, youth, and vulnerable adult will be surrounded by steadfast love, established in the faith, and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. Thank you very much. Our opening hymn this morning, Better Is One Day.
Good morning. I hope that this is your word today. Better is one day in the courts, better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. You went out of your way to be here today because better is one day to be here than any place else in the world. Would you stand and join us, please?
One day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
You would please remain standing as we affirm our faith together. This morning, as it is Safe Sanctuary Sunday, we will be reciting the World Methodist Social Affirmation found on page 886 in your hymnals. Again, this reminds us what it means and what it may look like for us to live the faith that we have been called to live. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe, God, help our unbelief. This time, if you'll let me read the top part, and you all can read the bottom part, it'll go much more smoothly. But the vigor that you all did that was wonderful. I appreciate that. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let us turn and greet our neighbors in the name of Jesus Christ this morning.
If you will, please join us in our next hymn. What a great, great, great hymn. His eye is on the sparrow. If you'd like to use your hymnal, it is the black hymnal in your pew, page 2146.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He.
You may be seated.
As we continue in our worship this morning, we'd like to ask our ushers to come forward as we give God our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have given to us, for this opportunity we have to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, it is indeed a beautiful day, a day to come and to celebrate you. Lord, we thank you for our children, our youth, and the vulnerable adults that we have the opportunity to minister and to serve and to be ministered to. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead them and that you would enable us to be ready to serve in the most appropriate ways possible. We thank you again for your many blessings and for the opportunity we have at this time to give back a portion of that which you have given to us. May all that we give and all that we receive this day be used for your honor, for your glory, and may your kingdom be furthered here in Elkton, Kentucky, and around the world. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As we enter now into our time of prayer this morning, we want to lift up the names that have been brought before us and any others that there may be. After we say these names, if you would please join with me in reciting, "Lord, hear our prayer." And in a few moments, we'll have an opportunity for you to come and to pray at the altar if you desire to do so today. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Irma Reclusado, "Lord, hear our prayers." Janie Mallory, "Lord, hear our prayers." Are there any silent requests this morning? "Lord, hear our prayers." As always, you are invited now to come and to pray at the altar if you desire to do so. Let us continue in our time of prayer this morning. We thank you so very much for this day that you have given to us, and again for the opportunity we have to be gathered in your house with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day and for all that you have given to us. While we come with joyful hearts, Lord, we know that there are those in need of prayer. We have named a few, we have risen our hands for many, and there are countless others that we have not verbalized in any form or fashion. And Lord, we lift those before you. For those who are preparing or recovering from surgery, Lord, from those who have lost loved ones, for those who find themselves in difficult, confusing circumstances or situations, we pray your blessing upon them as well. We ask that you would enable us and give us the courage to come alongside them as best we can, knowing that while we do not have all the answers, we can offer your love and grace to those in need. Lord, we thank you that you are fully aware of our requests even before we ask, and we pray that you would give us eyes to see where you are moving and working in our lives and in the lives of these that we have mentioned. Lord, we love you this day. We thank you. We thank you most especially this day for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for your Holy Spirit's presence in and amongst us today. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. I also would like to ask anyone who is 17 or younger to come up as well. So not just the children, but our youth also. You know who you are. Oh, okay. Yeah, come on down. How are you all doing this morning? You doing good? I want to tell you all that I am very excited that you all are here. And I love the fact that I get the opportunity to see you all on a regular basis and to have you, even when they're really sad. We're so glad that you all are here. We're so glad that you're not just here, but that you are a part of our church. And you are indeed just joys to all of us. And we will just want to thank you all for being here, for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. So I would ask if you all would stand where you all are, if y'all would face all of these people out here. When we have the sacrament of baptism, part of what we are doing is we are adopting and initiating people into the body of faith. And in so doing, we as a congregation pledge to come alongside and to help raise our children and youth and to bring them and raise them into the men and women of Christ that we hope to be and that we hope that they would be. And so I want to ask you to join with me in the bold this morning. Y'all are itching to join. If you would join with me in this pledge, this is adapted from the United Methodist Hymnal, page 44. Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care these children and youth whom we recognize as those loved by God. Will you endeavor so to live that these children and youth may grow in the knowledge and love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that these children and youth, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. That's a promise we want to make and to keep and to continue to make for you and with you all on a regular basis. Again, we love you. We are so glad that you all are here. We're going to have a quick prayer, and then those third grade and under can go downstairs. The rest of y'all got to return to your seats in here, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children and youth. Lord, we thank you for just their smiles, their joy, their excitement. Lord, the opportunity we have to hear them just blurt out whatever it is they blurt out as we are gathered. Lord, we know that it is indeed joyful to you to hear them, and it is indeed joyful to us. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for these children and youth and for the opportunity we have to teach them and also to learn from them. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, third grade and under, you all may go to children's church.
Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I ask that requests, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Pray for kings and everyone who is in authority, so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in complete godliness and dignity. This is right, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the human Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a payment to set all people free. This was a testimony that was given at the right time. I was appointed to be a preacher and apostle of this testimony. I am telling the truth, and I am not lying. I am a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Dina. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you have given to us, again for this opportunity we have to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for our children, for our youth, for those that we have the opportunity to minister to on a regular basis. We pray that you would continue to fill them and to fill us with the courage and the grace and the love to be their church family. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this your word, and pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to understand, that we may in obedience and in the strength of our bodies fulfill your call on us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Paul's words here this morning in 1 Timothy continue on what we saw last week. We've begun in chapter 2. And while Paul didn't write this to a congregation or a people that were safe sanctuary people, as we understand it, what he says this morning really helps to kind of reinforce what we say we want to be as a safe sanctuary church. We are a place of safety. We are a place of welcome, because we know that God wants all people to be saved. Now, the word all or everyone occurs in these seven verses four times. All or everyone. Why did Jesus come in the flesh? What was his purpose? He didn't come simply to show us how to live, though he did show us how to live, nor did he come to assess whether or not to save us or whether or not we were deserving of his salvation. But in verse 6, he says Jesus gave himself as a payment to set all people free. The question we have to ask ourselves and to kind of wrestle with this morning is, who are all? Now, the answer to that is easy. It's all-encompassing of everyone that is existing, has ever existed, or will ever exist. What becomes difficult for us is including ourselves in the group all. Typically, when we think of ourselves and we think of the world, we have two categories. We have ourselves, and we have those other people, right? And sometimes those other people are our enemies. They're people we don't think too highly of. But I want to remind us this morning that Christ has come to save us all. He is especially fond of everyone, even those that we are not especially fond of. We're reminded today that Jesus invited and rebuked the disciples when they tried to keep the children from coming to him. We are reminded today that he consistently advocated and helped those who were vulnerable, those on the margins of society. He helped the poor, the widows, and the orphans. And he calls us to do that very same thing. Today, as we consider our children, youth, and vulnerable adults, we want to put them in the same category as the vulnerable, as the marginalized, as those that society tends to ignore from time to time. And Paul's first word of instruction for us this morning is to be in prayer for everyone. And to be in prayer specifically for those who are in authority. And there's a reason for this. He says, pray for those in authority so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives in complete godliness and dignity, in verse 2. Pray for those who are in authority, because if they are using their authority properly, then everyone is going to profit from that. Everyone is going to win. Everyone is going to be taken care of. But if those in authority do not exercise their authority properly, there will be people in need. There will be want. There will be hunger. There will be thirst. There will be those who do not have. There will be no quiet and peace for them. there will be no dignity shown to them. Prayer is meant to include all persons, and every prayer that we pray should be all-inclusive. Does anyone here remember Mary's prayer? It's known by many as the Magnificat. And in that prayer, she is initially very thankful and grateful for God meeting a very personal and a very private need of her own. But it doesn't end there. She continues on and thanks God for what her child will mean to the world. And her prayer becomes all-inclusive. We think of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who also prayed a prayer after he was able to speak after naming him John. And he thanks God for this child, but he also thanks God for what this child will mean to the world and how he will usher in and be the voice of the Savior as he is entering. We think back to Hannah in 1 Samuel, who gives praise and thanks to God for her son Samuel. And how while it begins as a very isolated and very focused prayer, it quickly becomes a prayer for everyone. A desire that all would be saved, that all would know. We need to be reminded this morning that prayer is not an isolated discipline. Prayer is not something you just do by yourself in a closed room where nobody can see. But it is meant to be something much more than that. If I were to ask who in here would like to offer a prayer for us this morning, who would raise their hand? Go ahead. Offer a prayer for us. Now, how many of, I'm not going to pick on anybody else. How many would not want to pray in front of everybody? Okay, how many don't want to raise their hand in front of anybody? Maybe that's a better question to ask. Most of us, no, I'm all right. Prayer is not meant to be an isolated discipline. John Wesley calls and talks of prayer as a means of grace. And when he says means of grace, he speaks of it in terms of a way that we receive grace and can impart grace and fill others with the grace of Jesus Christ that we ourselves have received. Prayer is meant to be a tool for dispersing grace. Paul, in this passage, articulates prayer as an act of participation with the salvific will of God on behalf of all persons. For Paul, for John Wesley, for us today, prayer must be accompanied with action. Prayer must move beyond simple words that we recite to actions that we do. It must happen. It is not enough simply to pray for someone to know Jesus. We must show them Jesus. I want to be bold enough this morning to say that if you see someone in need, and you offer a prayer for them but do not offer any assistance, could it be possible that that prayer is a sin? Could it be possible that all you have done is say words without allowing them to penetrate deep into where you are? It's not enough simply to wish someone well, but to seek their wellness, to be about that work. Has anyone here ever had a prayer answered? My prayer is that somebody would raise their hand. Ah, glory. Was it answered by somebody? Did somebody come into your life and offer the answer to that? Probably. Have you ever felt a nudging of the Holy Spirit to go and to meet a need for someone? I have countless stories of times where I have failed to do this, where I've felt the Holy Spirit's nudging and I did not go. There are a handful of times where I have gone and I've answered a prayer. Because when we get that nudge, when we feel the Holy Spirit prodding us somewhere, could it be that someone somewhere is praying for that person and God has us in the right place at the right time to answer that prayer? Could it be? Could it be that prayer is more than just something you do on your own, by yourself? It must be accompanied by action. We are the answer a lot of times to prayers. I know that many people have prayed for me throughout my life. They've told me they have. I know my parents have, my grandparents, before they passed. I'm sure Abby's parents pray for me on a regular basis. And they pray for her on a more regular basis. And the effective prayers didn't end with amen, did they? But they continued as those people came alongside me, as they taught me, as they mentored me, as they acted with and on my behalf, right? Those were the effective prayers because those were times where I saw God moving and working in the life of those who were praying for me and working with me. Who here this morning only prays for their loved ones and doesn't seek to help them? If Joel came up to me on a morning and said, "Dad, I'm hungry. Lord, I pray that you would feed Joel today. I pray that you would give him the nourishment he needs." No, I'm going to have to go and get him something healthy like a donut or a sugar-filled cereal, or go tell your mother, right? Yes, a few people have done that before. Prayer must be accompanied by action, because if we just pray for people, it's not enough. It's just simply not enough. Where would you be this morning if people just prayed for you in isolation and didn't come alongside you? Where would you be if that prayer didn't take on flesh and come alongside you? And then my follow-up question to that this morning is, are you doing that for others? All of us in here can think of those who have mentored us in the faith. But how many of us can think of those we have helped disciple in the faith? How many of us are actively doing that now? Well, I'll pray about it. It's not good enough. We have a blessed church. We have Vicky and Robbie and Mike Kenner and Linda who help with some very important programs: our children's program, our youth program, our commodities program, our Celebrate Recovery program. We have some very great ministries that take place here at Petrie Memorial United Methodist Church. How many of you are praying for these ministries? Two of you, I'm so glad. How many of you are acting in these ministries? Because if we just prayed about it, I think Linda would get pretty wore out trying to get all that figured out. If we just prayed about it, I'm pretty sure Mike would just be overwhelmed with responsibilities and things that needed to take place. These are specific ministries that reach out to those children, youth, and vulnerable adults. In Celebrate Recovery, we have those who are facing addiction, and really all of us are facing addiction. None of us are any better or worse than these people. We're all facing it in some form or fashion, right, Mike? These people have been brave enough to name it and to move on, and so he has the opportunity to work with these vulnerable adults, but also with some children and youth who come. Our commodities program, these people are in need, and they come. And the answer to their prayers is lived out in the flesh through those who help. We have our PM at PM, which we had the opportunity to hear about a few moments ago. Now, I guarantee you, if I were to ask any of these, Vicky or Robbie or Mike or Linda, could you use any more help? What do you think their answer would be? Yes, we do. And if you were to ask them about these ministries, they wouldn't just say, "Well, here's the numbers, here are the things we do." They would tell you stories, right? They would tell you the stories of lives that have been changed and growth that they have seen. And you would begin to get a real sense for what takes place in these ministries, through these ministries. Our PM at PM is a spiritual orphanage of sorts. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. We had roughly 50 kids this last Wednesday. The Wednesday before that, we had right around the same number. And I would say probably 30, two-thirds of those are what we would probably consider unchurched. Their parents maybe are not involved in church somewhere, but here they are. They have found their way to us by God's amazing grace. These are our children because God has brought them here. The people in the commodities program and in the Celebrate Recovery are our vulnerable adults because God has brought them here. Whether we like it or not, they are our responsibility now. And the pledge we've made for our children here today is the pledge we are making to those persons. It's the pledge we are making to Todd County, to those who would come, who have needs. We have adopted them as we hope and pray that God has adopted us into His family. Who wants to help show them the goodness and the dignity that we ourselves have received? Who wants to come alongside and not just pray for, but do for and be a part of these great ministries? If we want to live the quiet and peaceful lives Paul speaks of, we must invest goodness and dignity into these people. Our children especially, because they are our future leaders, are they not? They're the ones who will decide where we go, right? So we want to invest in them pretty highly. Who are our future kings and queens and authorities whom we have the opportunity to minister to and to raise up? Well, they're in children's church right now, a lot of them. They're in Sunday school on Sunday mornings. They are at PM at PM. And are we doing justice by them as we seek to minister and offer a place of safety and love to them? I hear a lot of times people talk about how the world is just getting worse and things are horrible and things aren't the way they used to be. And do you want to know whose fault that is? Who used to be in charge of the hospitals? The church. And who gave that up to corporate America? The church. Who used to be in charge of education? The church. And who gave that up? To the government, the other public officials. We did. The reason the world is in the state that it's in, the reason America is in the state that it's in, is because we have not invested in the lives of those as we were invested in when we were growing up. So we can blame all kinds of things. We can blame media. We can blame this person or that person. But at the end of the day, it falls on us. It's our fault. We are the ones to blame because we have dropped the ball. We have stopped caring. We have stopped being that place of safety. We have stopped seeking the dignity of others for the comfort of ourselves. I want to challenge us this morning to be the person in the lives of these people who was so instrumental in your life. I want you to think about those people who poured into you, and I want you to do that for these children, for these youth, and for these vulnerable adults. We're going to have the opportunity in January to start our confirmation class, and I'm really excited about this. One of the things that excites me most is that we have all of the youth ask an adult of the same gender to be their friend in faith, to be somebody who walks through this with them. And I know that there's not one adult here who's going to say no when they are asked by one of these youth to be their friend in faith, because you want to pour into the future and into the present of this church just as much as I do. And I hope that you'll maybe be a little upset that you weren't asked. And you'll say, well, Pastor, next time this happens, I want you to make sure I get on that list. I want you to be that person in their lives who was so instrumental in your own. I want you to be one who sows goodness and dignity into the lives of our children, youth, and vulnerable adults who don't maybe have the quiet and peaceful lives that we enjoy today. I pray that Petrie Memorial becomes a place that stops the abuse, not a place that ignores it, not a place that covers it up, not a place that simply tries to not think about it. but a place that intentionally seeks to end it in whatever form it presents itself. I want us this morning to be the one who sees Jesus in the flesh each and every time these children, youth, and vulnerable adults walk in the room. I want us to know that we are seeing Jesus. And I want us to be Jesus in the flesh to these children, these youth, and these vulnerable adults. Because anything less is wrong. Anything less misses the boat entirely. Anything less is what none of us would hope on ourselves or our children. I want to ask Robbie and Mike and Linda to come forward this morning, to come up here and to kind of face you all. I think Vicky's downstairs, so we'll ask Kim to come in her place. Dun, dun, dun. So I'll ask Kim and Robbie and Mike and Linda, if y'all would come down here. These are the people I was talking about earlier. Here's Linda Groves. She takes charge of our commodities program. Robbie, here in the red, he's our youth director. Mike Kenner, in charge of our Celebrate Recoveries. And this is Kim, Vicky's husband, who is our children's director. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that the resources we have been given are ours to use for the glory of God. And I know that, again, I could tell you all day long that it's important for you to be involved in these ministries, but I want to give you the opportunity during our closing hymn to come forward and to maybe talk with some of these people about what they do, to hear their heart, to hear their stories, to know that these aren't just programs, but these are life-changing ministries, and that if we fail to recognize that, we fail to recognize the gospel right before us. We're going to pray, we're going to sing, and then we're going to go. And I'm going to ask these four to just be here and to be ready to share with you the joy that they get every single day. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for the wonderful ministries that we are a part of. Lord, these are just a few of those ministries, but they are so vital and so important. And we pray that you would loose us, unchain us from whatever it is that holds us back, and empower us for these ministries. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Pass It On, our hymn of invitation. Again, if anything that has been said or sung today, you wish to come and to pray, you want to come and you want to talk to them a little bit more about what this looks like, I know that they would love to do that. Let us stand together as we sing.
It's page 572 if you'd like to use your red hymnal.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all the
to go from this place today. I know it was a little crazy for me to ask you to come down during the hymn, and everyone would have seen, and this, that, and the other. They're going to stay here. You're going to have an opportunity to come down, because I know you want to. Don't pray about it. Stop praying about it. Stop. You know it's what you need to be doing, so come on. Come on down. As we prepare to leave this place, as we prepare to have our training downstairs, let's be reminded of why we are here. We exist for everyone else. We do not exist for the people in here, but for the people out there. And as we go from this place, as we consider all of the various ways that we can minister to our community, let us know that if it is something God has given you, it will be awesome. And when you go from this place, you do not go alone, but you go in the name of God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.